careful on the map, the old map of the first World Run, the route map, there are actually dotted the cities on the route north-south. So before I embarked on the first one, the the north-south run was in its making, because it takes, contrary to what I hear many times, oh, this is like Forrest Gump, you put on a bag and you run, and it's a cute and it's a beautiful story, but it couldn't be further from it needs long time to brew, both because there's a lot of logistics, it needs to brew in your brain but also in your soul and your heart. It takes a long time to, I'm thinking maybe like the 3,100 miles, I think few of those participants wake up the morning before and says, tomorrow I'll do that one, and then they pack some shoes and they run. While you understand it with your logic, your soul also understands it, and your body understands what it has to build itself to be ready to, and that takes years. And so that idea was brewing when I got the idea for the first world run. And then as I planned the first one, I realized it's not going to be possible practicality to do both those four continents that I did, Europe, Russia, Asia, Siberia, and Australia, and North America, and Africa and South America. That would simply be too long time.
So, to make clear to people listening to this, the first one was literally to go around the world.
Yeah, exactly.
This time you're going
north, south, and around. Yeah.
And how long have you been on the road now?
Yeah, see, this one is worse, and that was, you always have to keep the best to last, like with a meal, the dessert. And while the first one was 1 year and 10 months, well, now I've been running. Yeah, started the 1st of July 2008, so it's gotta be something like 4 years or something.
You've been out there a long time.
It's definitely the dessert.
So you've done a route down through Europe, Africa. Did you get to Antarctica?
No, the route up from Europe, the northern point, most point you can start in Europe, which is in Norway. It's about 500 km north of the Arctic Circle, and then down through Scandinavia and Europe and Eastern Europe, which was beautiful. I enjoyed that a lot, and then through Turkey as the gateway into the Middle East, and beautiful cultures there, and so positive compared to what we're used to seeing. That they're very strong hospitality, very gentle, awesome. No. And then through the Sinai Desert into Africa, and through Egypt. Egypt was a little bit difficult because it's a Muslim country, and I've come to respect them immensely. It's a beauty. It's such a giving religion, but sometimes when it's mixed in with commercialism, it seems to go wrong. And Egypt, I'm sad to say, but there's been a revolution later on. I heard, which I was very happy about, actually, where they revolted against the corruption. There's a lot of corruption. They always wanted your things, which is beautiful, but you can't carry that much of thing. But then, yeah, then
down through Africa,
and that took 1 year and 2 months to run through Africa.
So
and
then you hop over to South America.
Then because I'm not a swimmer, so I flew to what's called Punta Arenas, which is a southern point on the continent. You can go further south. Then you can go to there's some islands, and you can go to Antarctica. But Antarctica, you cannot run across. And if I'm a stubborn Scandinavian,
I am a stubborn Scandinavian. Please note.
So that means that if I run a continent, I run across it. Antarctica, yes, you can run on the brim a little bit, you can run back and forth, and there are marathons, and I respect that. But if I run on a continent, I want to run across. I want to experience the whole continent, not some parts.
Anyways, some joke.
Yeah. So exactly. So that one was out of the question. Unfortunately, I'm still drawing on how can it be done? But it's too deep, the snow, and it's not. Not practical, and I hope it can't be possible, because if it's possible, then it's global warming that's made possible, so that's not good.
So now, you've been coming all the way from South America?
Yeah, then up through South America, and that was 2011. That took 1 year from Punta Arenas, and then beautiful also, because running across the Andes Mountains, because first you run the east coast up through Argentina, which is a lot of pampas and sheep and shrubbery, and that was so 4 months of sheep and shrubbery, and then putting your expedition tent.
Sheep and shrubbery.
and then you cross, and then you approach, and this is one of the reasons why do I do the world runs. Then you approach the Andes Mountains, not as if you're flying in and they are amazing and you look from the airplane, then you're there. No, it took about 1 month. You begin to see those small glimpses of snow that's way out on the horizon, and during a month they grow in the horizon, and suddenly one morning you take the first step of running up through the mountains, and then 3 weeks running up through the mountains from Mendoza and then across, and for me, one of the, of course, literally high points of this run was running across the Cristo Redentor Pass, which is the highest pass, but also the only one you're allowed to go over when, if you're not in a car, there's tunnels, but I'm not allowed. That was 4 kilometers altitude, and we barely have mountains that are that high on the peak in Europe, so that was amazing, and it still, it inspires me. Just thinking back on that, and our support car, and that's funny again with how the human body or any living organism can adapt. It was not a huge problem to run across that pass, even though it's very high altitude. Simply because for 3 weeks, of course, more or less,
getting adapting to
exactly,
it.
While the support car, ironically, was very, very difficult because there's very little oxygen there, so the combustion in the engine at 4 kilometers altitude, 4,000 meters, simply doesn't really work. So the big, heavy Ford Explorer car, I had to stop and wait for it to catch up, and they had to try to warm up the engine and things. And, I mean, that's irony, but I think it kind of puts to the point that we're used to that the machines like those airplanes, that's the marvel, and it's all wonderful, but nature, in my opinion, is infinitely stronger than any of those, you know, machinery we can construct, because it can only do as much as that's put into it, while nature can do infinitely more than it started out to be. That's
so, Remus. I mean, sorry, Jesper. Then you run the you've run here, and you have to run to where you're going to finish.
Yeah, that's the tough question, because
you don't know where you're going to finish.
And that's
so you're rubbing your chin.
That's actually true.
I'm sorry. This is, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, no. I was just saying I have to shave, but no, I'm joking. But no. To be totally honest, which one also always should see in theory. And in towards the sponsors and on the website and all that stuff officially.
We can turn off the tape, by the way.
No, because this is interesting enough, I hope. But this show how what goes on while you're running, because the run develops as you're running, like any other run. And see, I'm supposed to finish as Newfoundland.
Yeah.
But then while I was running in South America, I also had some problems. It was difficult, very hot and humid. I don't like humidity. And then when you have a challenge, you have to sometimes make it relative so that you could overcome it. And I said, well, you know, it's difficult now, but what if I run longer than I'm supposed to? Then, you know, then suddenly my thoughts and my mind that are worrying about, oh, it's difficult right now, then it'll suddenly focus on that thing that's beyond the finish line. And then I forget about the humidity because now I got a much more focus on something further away. Anyways, so what occurred to me in South America is if it was really proper done, I should finish like in the first one where I started. And I started in Norway and North Cape at the northernmost point. But see, the problem is that when I was thinking about this, it solved my problem of struggling with humidity, because I forgot about the humidity. Oh man, that's like 3,000 kilometers more after this. And I like the idea of surprising people with, you know, no, I'm continuing. But now I'm getting closer to the finish line. And now it's a problem because, you know, you're
so what's happening now is not only do you not know where the finish line is, you have no idea when you're going to finish.
I know where it is officially. It's in Newfoundland.
St. John's, Newfoundland?
Exactly, yeah. And hopefully, if the lake still wants to, you know, help me and the body wants to be in on this, then I should reach it in middle of July, late July this year.
So there's a lot of time between July and snow falling in Norway.
Yeah, but since it's 500k north of the Arctic, sir, then there's actually only like 4 or 5 weeks where we can run up there. But the main thing, that should not be excused. I'll tell you, what is then the problem? The problem is, it is maybe... And here I'm taking a liberty I've never done, and I will not be able to do the 3,100 miles, because to run in a loop, after you see, after 3 or 4 days, I've had enough. I want to run forward, always forward for my part, and I would not be able to do that. I have immense respect in industry, I have immense respect, but the thing is, but if I can take a liberty, I think it would be like doing the 3,100 mile run race.
After you do St. John's, Newfoundland,
The situation I am in now is like, if you're doing the 3,100 mile race, then during the race you get the idea of how about surprising the organizer and the whole scenery by not stopping at 3,100, but at 4,000 miles, because it makes much more sense. It's more of a, you know, equal, you know, like what's called square distance.
It's a round number.
I mean, that's why I run one lap around the world and 100k and 100 miles. I don't like those that are, you know, not square numbers. So but imagine you're doing this one, the 3,100 mile, and then you get this idea. And in the beginning, it'll be easy because it's very abstract to you, because you're not near the finish. As you'll approach the finish of 3,100 miles, I think the same thing was happening here. It'll become more and more difficult to fathom and to convince yourself, because it becomes more and more of reality of you're not finishing actually now. You think you're finishing, but the goal is...
Wow!
So that's what I'm struggling with right now.
Okay, well, Jesper, I don't want you to struggle. I mean, I want